Thank you, Kath and Jane, for leading us this morning. The youngsters got Sunday school in next door. If you'd like to head out that way before I invite Mango to come up and speak to us this morning. We're doing a series this during August, looking at some of the characters, particularly in the New Testament, to give us some idea of what we can learn from them. I'm not going to steal any of your thunder this morning. You'll introduce your character in a few moments.
Morning, church.
Morning.
I'll just open in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you. I thank you for life. I thank you for joy, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Lord. I pray you strip everything from me, Lord. Give me the right words to speak, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. And I praise you and I honour you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today, Lord. Give people ears to hear and hearts to receive whatever you want to speak today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, I want to thank the worship team. I absolutely love coming together with my brothers and sisters in Christ to worship the Lord. I can't express how great it feels. When Steve first asked me to share a word, a complete bag of nerves came over me, if I'm honest. All sorts of thoughts came in my head. But when I went home and prayed, I remembered it says in the gospel, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. You know, our testimonies of what Jesus has done in our lives is powerful. It's strong stuff. And we have the Holy Spirit, the great and wonderful helper. And he will give us the right words to share our testimony. You know, and it's a privilege and an honour to be here today. So just bear with me because I am absolutely nervous. So the scripture today is Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. That's Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Would someone like to read the word of the Lord for today, please? Thank you.
Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, come down, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. Well, this man has shown himself to be the true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost.
Amen. Thank you. That was the word of the Lord. So I want to start with sharing a bit of testimony, to be honest. When I was praying and what to speak on and how to speak it, the Lord clearly said to me, you need to share your testimony today. So my first moment of what I can remember of when I was younger, to be honest, I like to walk about. My first memory was being in a fire with my sister Anne, God bless us all, and through that we were put into children's homes, because I later found out that my mum had a mental breakdown, and so we were put into homes. So the homes, if I'm honest, they were nice, they were good. You know, I haven't really got a bad word to say about the children's homes, but I was always told that I'd end up in prison, that I'd be a nothing and a nobody. And that's what not God's word says. You know, sticks and stones breaks your bones, but names will never hurt you. Well, that's a lie. Names hurt you if we let them. So I loved the homes, and then they had this great and wonderful idea that they wanted to foster me and my sister Anne. And to begin with, it was okay in the foster home. And I don't want to put foster homes down because I know a lot of people have grown up and had really brilliant foster homes. But my personal experiences, it wasn't right. So I had this great and wonderful idea that I would run away to London, big city lights, and everything would be different. Well, it wasn't, and I lived on the streets for a little bit. And then I come back to Birmingham, and a friend's mum and dad, Gary Hopkins, I'm still friends to him to this day, his mum and dad put me up. And that they were lovely people, but I just didn't want to rely on them. So I went looking for work, and I got a job as a butcher. I walked into a butcher's one day, and I said, "Have you got any work?" And he said, "No." I said, "Well, I work free for a week for you." And he offered me a job, and he felt sorry for me. So he took me on and trained me up to be a master butcher. Then I met a beautiful girl called Dawn. And same again, when I first met Dawn, her mum and dad said, "We want you to have nothing to do with him. He'll be a nothing and a no one, and he'll end up in prison." Well, rage came in my heart, absolute rage. And I thought, what can I do? And the only thing I could think of for my worth and to have hope in is money. So I came out of the butchery and I started wheeling and dealing, making money, selling tobacco, selling alcohol, loaning money. Just like Zacchaeus, I was taking off people. I was making extra money off stuff I sold to them. I would do anything to make money. So I was doing okay, to be honest. Had a beautiful son, Connor. I love him to bits, if I'm honest. Absolutely love him to bits. And in world terms, everything was going good. Everything was going absolutely brilliant. You know, I was going on 3 holidays a year. I had plenty of money in my pocket, had a beautiful girl called Dawn, had a beautiful son. But I want you to listen to this. Don't put all your hope and hold on tight to the things of the world. Don't put all your hope. Put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in Jesus. Don't put your hope in your family. Don't put your hope in your looks. You put your A, B or C of what you'll prefer. The reason I'm saying this, because like a thief in the night, it can be taken away from you. Where's your hope then? Where's it gone then? See, my hope is in Jesus, and it can never, ever, 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 ever be taken away from me. It really can't. You know, so, and why I'm telling you this, fast track, my sister Anne, she also went back to London at a later stage and got into drugs. And me and Dawn would get her, we got her a flat, but she kept going back to that lifestyle. So we said, wherever you are, just send us a card on your birthday, tell us where you live, and we just send her a bit of money and whatever, and just, at least I knew she was safe somewhere and she was still alive. But as I said, don't put all your hope in your family and that. Because one night I got a phone call, and this is quite upsetting, and I'm not sharing this to make you upset, please. I'm sharing this because of the love and the grace of our Lord and Saviour. And I got a phone call, my sister had committed suicide shortly after Dawn got cancer. She's still alive. So I hit my rock bottom then. I couldn't cope with that. Me and Dawn cried on the doorstep. And I had to leave because I started gambling and I started wheeling and dealing even more because I'd started gambling, obviously. But I always said to myself, well, I can make money anyway, it doesn't matter. To begin with, I was going to see Dawn help with the garden, but that slowly went away. But God is always watching us and He's always there with us. So I want you to listen to what happened next. So one day I'd been on a 3-day bender, drinking, gambling, doing whatever to make some more money. But I'm walking home back to my flat and there's some guys giving out soup and giving out sandwiches, and it was the Battelle Gaza community I was in. And I stopped and they said, would you like? I said, no, I don't want anything. But they gave me this flyer. I called it my golden ticket. Yeah, have you heard Charlotte the Chuck? That was my golden ticket from God. Now, normally with that flyer, when I get home, I'd put it in the bin, if I got it home. But I folded it up neat and put it in my wallet. And when I got home, I put it with the rest of my flyers. I used to put dance events on. And I always kept all my flyers on this table. Anyway, a few weeks later, I phoned up a friend. I'd got worse and I'd had enough. And I phoned up a friend and I broke down in front of him. And I said, he said, I know you've changed. You've got more aggressive. You're not you. Now he turned round and picked that single flyer out. And it was the Patel flyer. And I believe that was the Lord leading and chasing me. Just like the song said, he chases us down. That worship said he chases us down. And so the next day, I could hardly read, I could hardly speak. My friend Nick, who I'm still friends with today, he rang Patel. And I went to Patel Community, which is just down the road. And when I walked in, I thought, oh my goodness me, these people are crazy. They were singing, they were worshipping. I used to take the mickey because they do the pogo stick. I used to think, what? Look at them doing the pogo stick. But God chased me. God chased me. You know, I couldn't shut my ears, you know, with the words that would be spoken. His love, his grace, his mercy, and it's a free gift, isn't it? But we have to accept it. So because Jesus loved me first, I gave my life to the Lord. And it's been a journey. I remember when I first gave my life to him, I got up in the morning and I thought everything was going to change. It's a process. Remember, it's a process for each and every one of us here today. It's a process. So here I am now talking to you. I also want to say that Dawn's back in my life. She has a fiance, but we go out for food. We go out with food. And some people say that's crazy. No, it's not. Because I'm thinking eternal. How can I not like her partner and share testimony and say, well, I don't want anything to do with you? That's not how it works. That's not how Scripture tells me to be. You know, I'm not a great theonomy in Scripture, but God tells me what's right and wrong. Amen. So here I am. So let's go to my first point. So my first point is, that we are known. We are known. So the scripture we've just read, when Jesus got to the tree, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. He called him by name. Now, I don't know if you know much about tax collectors. Right, but we don't know what you do. And Zacchaeus, he wasn't just a tax collector. He was the chiefs of tax collector. You imagine how he felt when he was called by name. You know, the Romans didn't like him because the Romans actually had honour that you should be with your own people and not rob your own people. His own people didn't like him because he was taking extra money off them. So he used to walk down with his head down. He was also short in stature. Trying to look for Jesus. Now, we've all had the mickey took out of us for something. We're too tall. We're too short. We don't wear the right clothes. We've all had that. So just think about how we felt. See, no matter how we feel, you can always be sure that Jesus notices you. I'll say that again. No matter how we feel, we can always be sure that Jesus notices you. You, he notices you. Jesus, he notices you. Jesus notices you. Now, I don't know where you are in life, whether you're on a mountaintop, whether you're in the valleys, or whether you're just cruising. I don't know where you are. But I do know that Jesus knows where you are, and he notices you. There's never, ever, 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 and I'll say it again, ever, been a time where Jesus takes his eye off you. Think about that. So whether you're on that mountain top, Jesus has got his eye on you and he's walking. Whether you're feeling sad. So let's all say together, we are known.
We are
known. We are?
Known.
Amen. So my next point is that we are loved. See how the scripture shows that we are loved. As I've already said, Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name. I'm going to call him Jack, you know. I can't say his name. Someone said to me before, you can't say his name, just call him Jack. Right. And we, now listen to this word, we are individually noticed. We are not just labels or sinners. I love that word, individually. You know, we sang a song, what was it? He went after the one. He left the 99. That doesn't mean he's leaving everyone else. But what he's saying is, he's going after you individually. He wants an individual relationship with each person in this room. If we're willing, draw close to him. We have to be willing to draw close to him. But Jesus is always there. Also, just like in scripture, Jesus wants to invite himself into your life. Just like he did to Zacchaeus, he is not worried about what society thinks. He's not worried about what society thinks. And he doesn't want, I want you to listen here, check this out. It's not modified behaviour. He didn't walk up to the tree when he seen, he didn't go like this. Zacchaeus, come down quickly, but you've got to stop taking taxes off people. Or you've got to stop. No, he accepted him for the way he was. Then what happened? Because Jesus first loved him, and Zacchaeus had a repenting heart then, didn't he? He had a repenting heart. He didn't force it. It wasn't modified, changing. It's because he accepted the grace. And this is a free gift to everybody today. I truly believe this. And then it was back in the family of God. How good is that? So let's all say together, we are loved. One more time. Amen. 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 And this bit I love. My next point is we are treasured. When I think of the word we are treasure, I think of things like value and worth. See, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save what is lost. Just think about that for a moment. Wow, wow, wow. This is telling me that we are Jesus' treasure. I'll say that again. We are Jesus' treasure. How great's that? Let's give Jesus a clap because we are Jesus' treasure. You know, we are valued by Jesus so much so. Let's think about this. So much so that he sent his Son to die on a cross for us. That brings tears to my eyes, that I'm valued by Jesus, you know. So let's all say together, we are known, we are loved, we are treasured.
We are known, we are loved, we are treasured.
Amen. Amen. So my question to us all, and it's to myself as well, are we willing to walk to our tree and look out for Jesus? Are we willing to take, no matter what we think the world thinks of us, what's going on in our lives, are we willing to do that each day? Because Jesus is there and he's going to call you and we're going to have that relationship with Jesus. Trust me. Amen.
Amen.
I'll just end in prayer and then Seth is going to play a worship song that I absolutely adore. You know, worship's wonderful and amazing, and we don't just have to have it when we're in church. Play it when you're in your car. Play it when you're happy. Play it when you're sad. You know, I think worship is amazing. So I'll just end in prayer and then Seth, will you play it after I Pride. Thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for life. I thank you for joy, Lord. I thank you where we are loved, we are known, and we are treasures, Lord. And I pray whatever you've spoken to us today, Lord, individually, Lord, may we take it, may we meditate on it, may we chew on it, Lord. May we not just dash it under the carpet, Lord. Because it's your word, Lord, and it's what you want to speak to us, Lord. And I just thank you for this opportunity to share, Lord. I pray all these things in your mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Thank you for listening.
I was going to spend some time talking about Mary and Martha. I'm just going to tell you some of the headlines that I had in what I was going to say, because they tie in so well with what Mango's just shared with us. Jesus dealt with people as individuals. We are known. Jesus met people where they were. He understood Zacchaeus. He met Mary and Martha where they were. Those of you who know the story. If you don't know the story, go home and read John chapter 11 and 12, or part of 12. And also Luke chapter 10. It gives you an insight into a family. Jesus knew them. It also said Jesus loved them. We're loved. We're loved in the same way. Though not seeing Jesus and being there, he can be a real presence to each one of us. One of the other things that came to mind and what I wrote down was relationships. How important relationships are. Yes, they are with other individuals. But our relationship with Jesus is what really matters. And that's really what Martha understood. She knew, despite what people might think, when you read the story of Mary and Martha, she was getting on and doing things and not listening to Jesus. And Jesus had to tell her what to do. And he was very gentle in the way in which he did it in many ways, but straightforward nonetheless. But her sister understood what was important. And Jesus recommended that. He said, listen to me. So one thing I would say before we have another time of worship this morning is, listen to Jesus this week. See what he's got to say to you, wherever it may be from. It may not be just from the scriptures, but from circumstances where we are, where something hits us in the face. And sometimes it can. And listen. But don't just listen. React to what God is saying to you. And he does. He makes a difference. He changes us. And he is the one who can make things right, not just with us in our heart, but I believe he can make the whole world right if the world would be prepared about him. So let's worship. Continue worshiping. Because I think what we heard this morning encouraged us to worship the words that we heard about what happened in Mango's life and also what happened to Zacchaeus. What happened to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And if we think of all those things, let's really lift our hearts in appreciation of the one who died on that cross for you and for me.